Good morning. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we will begin here this morning. A few months ago, we had a series of lessons pertaining to the church of the New Testament. And in one of those lessons, maybe two of those lessons, we covered the organization of the church. And we touched briefly on the role and responsibilities of elders, but we really just scratched the surface of what the New Testament has to say about elders. And so, Lord willing, over these next couple of weeks, I want to do a series of lessons pertaining to what the New Testament teaches about this role of elders. And before we get into the qualifications of elders, I wanted to start by just noticing some things that are said in the New Testament about the work that elders do. And I think as we look at the work that is charged to elders, it will help us to better understand the qualifications when we come to covering those. But as we think about the work of the elders in a church, I want to first just back up and think about the place that elders have within the church as it's been divinely organized. We understand when we think about the term church, it is a term that refers to, nearly always when it's used, it refers to a called out assembly of people. And it specifically refers to a called out assembly of people who are followers of Christ. There's a couple of exceptions to that, but it almost always has reference to a called out assembly of people who are followers of Christ. But there are two very different ways in which this term is used. They are similar in some ways, but they are different in terms of their implications, and it's an important distinction for us to make as we think about these two different ways in which the term church is used. One of them we see brought out in the book of Ephesians. There in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 23, as the inspired apostle there gives the analogy of the husband and the wife, and he uses the analogy of Christ and the church. He says, Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, there in that verse. And so you notice he uses the term church there, and he also uses the term body to describe the same group of people. And if you skip back a chapter to chapter 4 and verse 4, he talks about the body there. And I believe he's talking about the church. And in doing so, he says there's just one body. And so here in Ephesians, the inspired apostle points out there is just one body. There is just one church. And yet, in Romans the 16th chapter and in verse 16, when Paul is giving his salutations to the saints at Rome, he says, salute one another with an holy kiss. And then he says, the churches of Christ salute you. So in one place, the inspired writer says there's just one body, just one church. And then in another place, he uses the word churches in the plural form. And I believe the explanation for why this is because in Ephesians 4:4, he's talking about the universal church, the universal body of Christians. And what we mean by that is all Christians throughout the entire world who are part of the church, and all Christians ultimately submit to Christ. But in Romans 16:16, I believe he's talking about a local church, a local group of Christians who've come together to carry out the Lord's work. And I wanted to make this distinction to make sure we understand where elders fit in with this, because elders don't have a place over the universal church. Elders are appointed to a particular office in the local church. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, as they're Paul and Timothy are opening up the letter to the saints at Philippi, they reference there all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, and then go on to mention the bishops and the deacons. And so these two offices that were identified there in Philippians 1:1, these are two offices that some of the saints there in Philippi had. Some were bishops and some were deacons, but this was over a particular or working with a particular local church. These weren't bishops and deacons for the universal church. They were bishops and deacons for the church there at Philippi. And so as we think about the role of elders, we want to first of all just notice that God has organized the local church in a certain way, and that's where elders fit in. Their role and their responsibility that they have in that capacity is to serve the local church. They don't have any oversight over the universal church. But now as we think about their role within the local church, we want to notice some things that are said in the New Testament as we learn more as the New Testament progresses about this office of elders. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 30, Acts chapter 11 and in verse 30, there we have the first New Testament reference to the office of elders within a local church. This isn't the first time we see the word elders used, but it's the first time we see the word elders used in this context. Think about different times where we read about the chief priests and elders of the Jews who were delivering Jesus to be crucified and so forth. The word elders is used there, but not in this context. The first time we see the word elders used in the context of talking about those who have a particular office in the local church is here in Acts the 11th chapter and in verse 30. And it mentions here that there were evidently elders among at least one of the churches or multiple churches in the area of Judea. Here in Acts 11, the brethren at Antioch are determined to send some benevolent relief to the saints which dwelt in Judea. And it mentions in verse 30 there, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So there's our first indication at this, our first look, if you will, at this office of elders within the local church. But up to this point, we really don't know a whole lot about what is involved in this office. And is it expected in every local church? Is it something that is how many or would all local churches have elders? We don't really know a whole lot about this office of local churches just based upon what's said here in Acts the 11th chapter and verse 30. But as we read on throughout the New Testament, we learn more and more about this office of elders. When we get to Acts 14 and verse 23, it talks there about Paul and Barnabas as they were going about teaching, they were going about establishing churches and building up brethren. It mentions that when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So here in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, we see that elders were appointed in every church. So this is something that's evidently a pattern that is expected for every local church. And we see this continue throughout the New Testament in Acts 15, Acts 21, we read about elders being at Jerusalem. In Acts 20, we read about elders being at Ephesus. Paul talks about elders. Peter talks about elders. The Hebrew writer talks about elders. James talks about elders. Throughout the New Testament, we see this pattern established that elders are individuals who are in a particular office in a local church. And in Titus, the first chapter, in verse 5, there Paul gave a particular charge to Titus. As he mentions leaving Titus in Crete, he says that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or the things that have been left unfinished. And one of the things that have been left unfinished, he said, was to ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. And so the New Testament pattern is, we see there were elders in every church. That is God's desire, that is His design, that's His pattern that He has established in the New Testament. A couple things I want to note before we dig in more to the work of elders about this phrase, elders in every church. Number one, when we see the word elders, or we see bishops or pastors or shepherds, and we'll get to those words in just a minute. But when we see those words used to denote this particular office in a local church, we always see it in the plural form. We don't read about churches having an elder or a bishop that had the oversight. We always read about them in the plural form, and so it's very clear that the New Testament pattern that God has for us is that he expects there to be two or more men appointed in this office in each local church. Something else about this phrase, elders in every church, we can infer based upon that and based upon other things that are said. These elders had no oversight beyond the local church that they were working with. They had no oversight over other local churches. Those other local churches had their own elders. They oversaw the work there. Elders at Ephesus, for example, they just oversaw the work at Ephesus. And the same was true with Philippi and other congregations that were addressed. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, we see this alluded to here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 2. When Peter is addressing elders here, he tells them, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." And so he doesn't say, "Feed the flock of God throughout the entire world." He says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you. You are elders over a particular local group of Christians. They are the flock, the sheep that you shepherd, not anyone apart from that local church." And so as we look at the New Testament pattern, we see that within the local church, there are elders who are to be appointed. There are to be two or more, and that's something that God expects us to be striving to do in every local church. But as we dig in a little bit more into this work of an elder, I want to notice the three different Greek words that are used to translate this office of an elder. And I'll go ahead and mention what they are, and then we'll note some passages that bring this out. We have six English words, but three Greek words. So it's a little complicated, but I'll try to explain as best I can. But there's one Greek word that can be translated as elder or presbyter. There's another Greek word that can be translated as bishop or overseer. And then there's another Greek word that can be translated as pastor or shepherd. And so there's a total of six English words, but it's just three Greek words. Bishop and overseer are the same Greek word. Pastor and shepherd are the same. And elder and presbyter are the same. So there's really three terms for elders. And in each of these three terms, there's something important that is said that helps us to understand who these men are and what it is that they're expected to do. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we see each of these three terms either used or at least alluded to here in this passage. There in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 1, there Peter says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." So we'll stop there for just a moment. He uses the word elder here. This is the word that probably most of us typically use to denote this office, probably more so than bishop or pastor or shepherd. And Peter uses that word here by inspiration. And what this word elder means literally, in a broad sense, it just refers to an older person, but it can refer more specifically to older individuals who are in a particular role or particular office. You think about the elders of the Jews, the elders of the Israelites. Those were older individuals, but they were older individuals in a particular role with particular responsibilities to the Jews. But when we talk about elders in terms of an office in the local church, it is good to think about this term elder, because the idea of being an older man, what that carries with it, it carries with it the idea of experience and wisdom and spiritual maturity. And as we look at the work that elders do, I think it will make a lot of sense why a man of experience and wisdom and spiritual maturity would be expected to be in this role, because the work that he is expected to do is one that really requires him to be a man who can provide that wisdom and that experience to other individuals in the flock. But we also see the word bishop or overseer alluded to here in 1 Peter 5. Notice in verse 2, the inspired apostle says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." That word oversight is a word that alludes to bishop or overseer. And so elders are to be older men who have this spiritual maturity and wisdom, but they are also to be individuals who exercise oversight. And this describes more the work that they do than the qualifications, that they are ones who exercise oversight over the local church, both over the church collectively and the members who make up that church. And so this idea of overseeing is one that's important when we think about the work that elders do. But we also see the term shepherd or pastor alluded to here in these verses. In verse 2, it says, "Feed the flock of God." At the end, or at verse 3 rather, it says, "Be examples to the flock." And then verse 4 mentions the chief shepherd shall appear. And so he doesn't come right out and call the elders here in this context shepherds, but it's clear from looking at the context that that's what he's getting at. And so this can help us to understand who is being referred to in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, when we see these different offices within the local church mentioned, we read about apostles, we read about prophets, we read about evangelists, and then we read about pastors, and we read about teachers. And a lot of people in the denominational world just group pastors with evangelists and or teachers. But here in Ephesians 4:11, there's a distinction made between one who is an evangelist or one who is a teacher and one who is a pastor. A pastor is not the same thing as a preacher or an evangelist. But when we think about this word pastor, it can also be translated shepherd. And that's the idea that it carries with it, is someone who pastors or someone who shepherds a flock. And back there in 1 Peter chapter 5, we read about elders being instructed to feed the flock, be examples to the flock. They were reminded of the chief shepherd. And so the idea is these elders are the ones who are being referred to here when the Holy Spirit talks about pastors. We see this alluded to in Acts 20 as well. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17 and verse 28, when we put them together, once again we have these three different terms that are all alluded to. In verse 17, it mentions here that Paul from Philetus sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. So here we have reference to the elders of the church. Then down at verse 28, he tells these elders, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he's purchased with his own blood." And he carries this idea of feeding the flock and similar themes down into verse 29 when he says there's going to be grievous wolves entering among you, not sparing the flock. And so again, here in this context, he mentions elders, he mentions overseers, and then he alludes to the fact that these elders and overseers are spiritual shepherds of the flock when he commands them to feed the flock, and he commands them or talks to them about these wolves coming in, not sparing the flock. And so I believe that when we consider all that the New Testament teaches, I believe that this position of pastors or elders, or shepherds, that is referenced in Ephesians 4:11, is talking about the office of an elder or a bishop. And so there's these three different Greek terms that all are used to refer to the same office, and they all help us to think about important aspects of the work of an elder. He is to be one who has spiritual maturity and wisdom and experience. He is to be one who exercises the oversight over a flock. And then when we think about this term shepherd or pastor, he is to be one who shepherds the flock and cares for the flock as a good shepherd. And there's a lot of things that we can learn from that as well. And so as we dig in more deeper into this work of an elder, want to notice as we dig into this that the work of an elder, the work of a bishop, is a good work. 1 Timothy 3:1, there before Paul gets into the qualifications of an elder, he tells Timothy, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. He doesn't tell him there, if a man desires to be a bishop, he's desiring a good thing because he wants to have the preeminence and that's good. But what he tells him is, if he desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Being a bishop, serving in that role, is a good work because it helps save souls and it helps to serve the Lord. And so this is all just laying the groundwork for thinking about this work of an elder. But we want to understand that this work of an elder is something that is ordained to be in the local church. And there are to be two or more elders in each local church. That's God's pattern and God's design. And elders might be referred to as bishops. They might be referred to as shepherds or pastors. And those who are working in this capacity, if they're doing the job God expects, are doing a good work. But now the remainder of this lesson and on into the lesson this afternoon, we'll dig into some more specifics about what elders are expected to do in this role. And there's nothing more significant for an elder to do than to first and foremost take heed to himself. In Acts the 20th chapter in verse 28, there again when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, he told them there in that verse, first and foremost he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. It's very important for elders to examine their own conduct, to make sure that they're not being hypocritical, and also to make sure that they are not going to be a bad example on the flock that is following them and looking, watching them and looking at their example to try to follow their steps. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, there again when Peter was writing to elders, he told them, you're not to be lords over God's heritage, and we'll touch on that phrase more this afternoon, but he tells them, be examples to the flock. And so elders need to take heed to themselves to, of course, make sure they're right with God themselves, but also to make sure they're being the examples for the rest of the flock that they need to be. And there's probably nothing more important in the work of an elder than to make sure, first and foremost, he's taking heed to himself and make sure that he is being who he needs to be. But elders do also need to take heed to the flock. It's not just about looking inwardly and making sure that he is what he needs to be. That's part of it, but it's also about looking at the flock and watching over the flock and caring for the flock and seeing to it that the flock is having its needs met. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 17, Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 17, this is instruction being given to members of a local congregation, but it says a lot for elders or for those who may be in this role. It's something for them to really think about. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17, those of us who are members are told, obey them that have the rule over you. And I believe that's talking about elders. And it says, submit yourselves, because it says they watch for your souls as they that must give account. You stop and think about that phrase. Elders are watching for the souls of the flock, and it mentions they must give an account for that. Now, the Bible never teaches that anyone's going to be held accountable for something out of his or her control. We understand that if we're teaching the gospel to somebody and he or she just rejects it, doesn't want to hear it, that's not on us, that's on that individual. And I believe the same is true with regard to elders and their relationship to the members, to the flock. If elders are doing everything they can to help someone be who they need to be, of course, they can't force somebody to be who they need to be. So if someone decides, I'm going to go do what I want, I don't believe that the elders are going to be held accountable for what that person chooses to do that is out of the elder's control. But I do believe that this verse here, when it mentions they must give an account and they're watching for your souls, that certainly has reference to the fact that elders have a particular responsibility to do everything they can to help the flock be who they need to be, help the individual sheep be who they need to be. Back in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it mentions there after saying, "Take heed therefore to yourselves," it says, "and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood." And so there's no question that elders have a responsibility to be watching over the flock and helping the flock, helping the sheep to be who they need to be. And we'll get into some more specifics this afternoon, Lord willing. But I do want to note, before we close our lesson here this morning, a way that I've heard the work of elders categorized that's helped me to think about this, and it might help some of you as well. I've heard it categorized as elders are charged with flock shepherding, and they are charged with sheep shepherding. And what's meant by that is elders have the oversight of the flock as a whole, that is the collective body, the church, the local church, and they exercise the oversight over different decisions that are made in the local church. And so, for example, if a local church is trying to decide how much benevolence to give to someone who is to give to a member who's in need, or perhaps they're trying to decide what topics should we ask a preacher to preach on for gospel meetings, different things like that, the elders oversee that, and ultimately, oftentimes, the elders step in and make those decisions if they deem appropriate. But they oversee that work that affects the whole congregation. But there's also sheep shepherding, and what's meant by that is elders are also watching out for individual souls. And so it's oversight over the work of the congregation collectively, but it's also shepherding sheep individually, shepherding individual souls. And examples we might have of this, if you think about two men in a congregation who aren't getting along and they need to be warned about strife and gossip, the elders might go to them with that. That's not going to affect the whole congregation, but it's going to help those two individuals. You think about some young people who might be putting themselves in tempting situations, and they need to be warned about propriety and their influence. The elders might go to those individuals, and it's not with the whole congregation. It's just those individuals who they're watching out for, and they're helping them to go down the path that they need to go. You think about a husband and wife who need to be counseled with their responsibilities in the marriage, and the elders may go to them and counsel them and try to help them. You think about a man whose job is causing him to neglect his family, and he needs to make some changes. Or you think about a family that's caught up with sports and extracurricular activities, and they're not devoting the time for study and prayer they should, and they need to be counseled so their children learn to prioritize properly. The elders might go to them and help them with that. You think about a young man and woman who have questions about whether they're ready for marriage. Or you think about parents asking for help dealing with a rebellious child. The list could go on and on and on. These are not situations where elders are exercising oversight in a situation that's going to affect the whole church necessarily. A lot of this is watching out for individual souls. And so, yes, elders exercise the oversight over the local church collectively, but also over individual souls. And we'll get into some more specifics in that, Lord willing, this afternoon that I think will help to clarify some of that. But this lesson here this morning is in many ways to lay the groundwork for this topic of elders and just noticing how the term elders is used throughout the New Testament. In this pattern, we see that it's something God expects, and noticing the different terms that are used and getting an introduction to this work that they do. And then we'll go into some more specifics, Lord willing, this afternoon. This lesson this morning is not one that has been directed towards those who are not yet Christians. It's been directed towards brethren. We understand that. But if you're here and you're not a Christian, we want you to know that there's nothing more important in the life of anyone here than you changing what you need to change to make your life right with God. If you are in a situation where your soul is not prepared to meet Christ in judgment, we would encourage you to really think about that situation and think about what would happen if you were called to meet Christ in judgment today. And if you're not prepared, we'd encourage you to get prepared before you leave here today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that and to repent of your sins and be buried in baptism for the remission of sins, to arise to walk in newness of life. We would love to help you with that. If you are a Christian and you're struggling with something else in your life that you'd like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. Whatever your need may be, won't you come as we stand and sing?